ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today I want to give a very important revelation, the real truth about the coronavirus, COVID-19. It's not the Norwegians. You can't blame the Norwegians for everything. The real thing, which I've understood by going deeply into meditation and contacting a higher level of cosmic consciousness, is that previously this Earth planet was dominated by a highly intelligent species of fluorescent cats. But during the last ice age, their numbers began to be decimated, and the remaining survivors embarked and migrated to a nearby asteroid and have remained there incognito ever since, unknown to modern science. And they've been building up their strength, and now they're attempting a comeback, and it's all due to them, and this is only the beginning, folks. They have a lot of other very bad things, so we should join together as humans and try to combat this threat from the dangerous cats who want to invade the Earth. Now, what I just said was a bunch of utter flumbuncturous rubbish, nonsense, just in case you didn't know, or just in case you were thinking of carting me off to the nut house. Then I have to say that because there might be a few nutcases who actually believe what I said just now. So why talk nonsense? The whole world is talking nonsense. Why should someone who's supposed to be in knowledge, spiritual knowledge, talk nonsense? Well, just to... One thing is that there are so many conspiracy theories out there. Might as well throw in another one, have a little fun. No, that's not really the reason. Well, it's plainly, clearly nonsense, what I said. Should be to most people. But then, one thing that this COVID-19 should have brought into sharp focus is that the whole civilization that it's bringing to its knees is nonsense. What is sense? What is sensible? What is nonsense? The whole civilization is based on what? Just working hard, getting money, enjoying yourself in various ridiculous ways. So in that sense, the whole society is nonsense, and the whole basis of it is nonsense also. The basis of the whole project of developing highways and hospitals and satellites and video games. It's all based on modern science and technology, with the idea that, as I used to hear at school when I was a kid, almost 60 years ago now, since they first incarcerated me in that little concentration camp they call a school. So we used to hear, not only in the school, everywhere, that how society's science is going to develop and everything's going to be so wonderful. We're going to conquer nature and harness nature in man's service. So, hopefully, this tiny little thing which has brought civilization what goes by the name of civilization to its knees, might, if there's any sense left in any human beings anywhere, if it hasn't been bred out by evolution over the last so many centuries of scientific progress, then people might start to realize that this is all nonsense, this whole idea of conquering over nature. And actually, even prior to this, at least indirectly, many people, they started to realize this in the sense that, many people in the Western countries, they prefer to use what are called alternative or natural medicines rather than the medicines which are produced by pharmaceutical companies, which they engage some scientists to do research. They extract something from a plant. There's some well-known plant that's been used for centuries for healing by indigenous peoples, as they call them condescendingly. And they isolate the active ingredient of that and artificially produce it in a laboratory and patent it and sell it to you for more money than you can afford. So many people, they prefer, with side effects, by the way, if that's another aspect of the pharmaceutical industry. So many people are turning to alternative medicines, alternative lifestyle, alternative religions to what used to be the religion in the Western world was Christianity. People so indirectly, people have been showing their discontent with modern civilization. But most of them don't realize the extent of how bad it is. And I'll give an example of that. That people who are looking for what they call an alternative, eco-friendly lifestyle, they'll go to live on the land and get off the grid. Off the grid, but they'll have the solar panels. They want to have all their fancy technology as well. They want to have the best of both worlds. They're not content with what nature gave them. And another idea, another way we, this coronavirus, COVID-19, and we're just waiting for COVID-20 to come, and then COVID-21, and afraid, we're all afraid. We're all going to die. Another way it's shown the failure of science is the total unpreparedness of human society for this pandemic and apparent confusion as to how to deal with it or how to stop it. Yesterday, looking at the feed in the Google News, the headlines, I saw one headline saying that experts say it will take at least 2 years to get a vaccine. Let's scroll down a little bit. Experts say maybe in 2 weeks we can have a vaccine. Then some experts are saying, no, it's overhyped, it's just like the flu. So many people die of flu every year, why make a big fuss of it? And other experts are saying, no, this is really bad, this is really going to... Who can you believe? There's expert on this side, expert on that side, and they say, yes, well, I've studied it, well, I also studied it, and they come to a different conclusion altogether. Of course, that's not only in virusology, but just like something I read maybe 25 years ago, that among... astrophysicists, there are more than 2,000 theories as to the origin of the universe. Or how many astrophysicists are there in the world? There are so many theories. It means they don't know what's going on. They don't know their theory. They teach different theories, They all have the same basic kind of training. They all have access to the same basic data. And they all have different theories, which means they don't know what they're talking about. So, in another way, we can understand that this the whole project of science will make the world better and civilization will be so wonderful, is it? Well, people aren't happy. This civilization has not brought happiness. It's not even brought good health. People's health seems to be getting worse and worse. People, probably at the present time in human history, as it's known, according to the Western model, which goes back about 3,000 years only, probably people are more concerned en masse about health than any other time. There's so much consciousness about health. Why is that? Because the whole way of life has made people so unhealthy. So people, otherwise, most people, they didn't bother about doing exercise. I mean, most people just in their day-to-day life, they'd have to pick things up, they'd have to walk here and there, and they got enough exercise without even having to think about it. They didn't have to worry about poison in the food, poison in the air, poison in the water, poisoning them at every moment in everything they do. They didn't have to worry about that because we hadn't advanced civilization enough to poison everything at that time. So people's health, they didn't bother about it so much. And so another way then that the society, yeah, it's another thing we should think, that this whole civilization, the whole project has failed. People are all quarantined, shut up, what's the word, locked down, locked in. What's the word? Isolated? I can't remember the word. There must be some word. Maybe we can stop running around, and just think, what am I doing with my life? What has this civilization brought? Our most worshipable spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, sitting in the, from the Eurocentric perspective, remote village of Vrindavan in India, circa 1962, at a time when pretty much everyone in the world was enamored by the idea of material progress. And in India also, people were getting very excited. You see, now we produce our own sewing machines. India's becoming very advanced. Singer sewing machines. Bicycles. India was making tremendous progress and they were hopeful of more and more progress. And still in India, they haven't got over that yet. In most of the countries, the Western countries, a lot of people got over that idea of we're going to make progress by building factories and dams and polluting everything. In India, people are still enamored by this stupid idea, but at least one person wasn't, and that was His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I'm going to read now what he wrote. It must have been 1962, I guess, in a village at that time, Vrindavan, with very few modern amenities. Even up to the present day, there's no proper drainage system, so there's sewage. Anyway, there was electricity, hardly. It would come low voltage for a very short time every day. Electric supply. So Srila Prabhupada wrote in his purport to Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he exposes the myths and the horrors of modern civilization and proposes going back to an autocratic system of government, a regal system of government, a monarchy, with a pious devotee king in charge. So the verse is as follows: Kamanga Varsha Parajanya Sarva Kama Dughamahi Sishichu Sma Vrajan Gava Payasod Hasvatir Muda. Translation: during the reign of Maharaja Yudhishthira, the clouds showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Purport, commentary. The basic principle of economic development. What's this whole modern civilization based on? Economic development. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, getting right to the core of the problem, the misconception that has caused this so-called civilization to be a failure. The misconception is right at the root. One thing is the idea that by science we will develop everything wonderfully. And another is the misunderstanding of the principle of economic development. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, the basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. The necessities of human society are food grains, fruits, milk, minerals, clothing, wood, etc. One requires all these items to fulfill the material needs of the body. Certainly one does not require flesh and fish or iron tools and machinery. During the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthira, all over the world there were regulated rainfalls. Rainfalls are not in the control of the human being. Yeah, it's true. The heavenly king Indradev is the controller of rains, and he is the servant of the Lord. When the Lord is obeyed by the king and the people under the king's administration, there are regulated rains from the horizon, and these rains are the cause of all varieties of production on the land. Not only do regulated rains help ample production of grains and fruits, but when they combine with astronomical influences, there is ample production of valuable stones and pearls. Grains and vegetables can sumptuously feed a man and animals, and a fatty cow delivers enough milk to supply a man sumptuously with vigor and vitality. If there is enough milk, enough grains, enough fruit, enough cotton, enough silk, and enough jewels, then why do the people need cinemas, houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, etc.? What is the need of an artificial, luxurious life of cinema, cars, radio, flesh, and hotels? Has this civilization produced anything but quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into a hellish factory and the war fields at the whims of a particular man? Insightful. There are two more paragraphs. I'll continue. It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with milk because their milk bags were fatty and the animals were joyful. Do they not require, therefore, proper protection for a joyful life by being fed with a sufficient quantity of grass in the field? Why should men kill cows for their selfish purposes? Why should man not be satisfied with grains, fruits, and milk, which combined together can produce hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes? Why are there slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals? Maharaj Parikshit, grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthira, while touring his vast kingdom, saw a black man attempting to kill a cow. The king at once arrested the butcher and chastised him sufficiently. Should not a king or executive head protect the lives of the poor animals who are unable to defend themselves? Is this humanity? Are not the animals of a country citizens also? Then why are they allowed to be butchered in organized slaughterhouses? Are these the signs of equality, fraternity, and non-violence? Therefore, in contrast with the modern, advanced, civilized form of government, an autocracy like Maharaj Yudhishthira's is by far superior to a so-called democracy in which animals are killed and a man less than an animal is allowed to cast votes for another less than animal man. We are all creatures of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord Himself is the seed-giving father and material nature is the mother of all living beings in all shapes. Thus, Mother Material Nature has enough foodstuff both for animals and for men by the grace of the Father Almighty, Sri Krishna. The human being is the elder brother of all other living beings. He is endowed with intelligence more powerful than animals for realizing the course of nature and the indications of the Almighty Father. Human civilization should depend on the production of material nature without artificially attempting economic development to turn the world into a chaos of artificial greed and power only for the purpose of artificial luxuries and sense gratification. This is but the life of dogs and hogs. So there you have it, modern civilization summarized. Just the few words there. Chaos of artificial greed and power only for the purpose of artificial luxuries and sense gratification. What is this civilization? What? It's a failure. It's failed. Because the whole idea that we shall live happily in this world, it's doomed to failure. So I was talking nonsense at the beginning of this talk. But practically what everyone's talking all the time is nonsense, because it's all based on the idea that we'll live happily in this world. Anyway, we have to die. Anyway, we have to suffer disease. This disease, that disease, another disease. Why don't we think of this? And instead of trying to increase the disease by engaging more and more in activities that divert our attention from the real purpose of life, which is to find a solution to the real problems of repeated birth and death, instead of this, people are developing civilization. It's absurd, it's nonsense, it's crazy. So we should learn from people who actually know. How can they know? It's not just you go into some meditation and you see some crazy thing. No, knowledge is given by the maintainer of this universe. The world has a purpose. We're here for a purpose. The purpose is to develop our actual knowledge and higher consciousness. What is actual knowledge? Actual knowledge begins with understanding, I don't belong to this world at all. We've got nothing to do with it. We're eternal living beings. We're meant for eternal bliss. We're not meant for struggling to get some petty things like the latest iPad. We're not meant for that. We are meant for Amrita, eternal blissful life. So that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is described in Bhagavad Gita. We all have an eternal blissful relationship with the eternal blissful supreme controller, Sri Krishna. Forgetting that, we talk all nonsense and think that we can be happy in this world of birth and death. So this virus outbreak, this pandemic, it's like nature's official declaration of the failure of civilization. You thought you're having a good time? Well, we're just throwing a little, very tiny virus. Not a big one. It's no giant cats invading to stamp us out. It's a tiny little virus, and your whole civilization is finished. So anyway, it's nonsense. Anyway, it's condemned. Anyway, it's doomed. But nature's just letting us know. It's that the whole project of conquering nature and enjoying this world, it's all nonsense. We have to rethink the whole direction of human civilization. Fortunately, there are people much more intelligent than us, with refined spiritual intelligence, who know the answers. The first to give the knowledge, clear knowledge, is Sri Krishna himself, who sums up the whole situation of the material world brilliantly just in two words. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. This material world is by nature full of misery and everything here is temporary. Then why should we try to be happy in this world? It's insanity. You're in a place where you're getting beaten at every moment. And instead of thinking, well, maybe I could enjoy a little sex in between getting beaten. But that's another form of getting beaten. You just go to somewhere else. That's all. Simple thing. You don't have to stay here. No, but I like being beaten. Oh, well, this is crazy. You get so used to it, you like it. It's madness. So take to spiritual life. Beyond this nonsense of materialistic civilization, beyond this nonsense of idiotic people playing at spiritual life by so-called meditation and so-called yoga, understand that the truth, the unchanging truth, which is given in Bhagavad Gita as it is, Sri Krishna's gift to foolish mankind, so that we can be uplifted from this absurdity. It's an absurdity, isn't it? Such a big civilization, a little virus finishes it all. But then the whole civilization itself is an absurdity. Why don't we think of that? Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhu evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.